Most of my life, some of my most prominent memories in my faith formation were stories of missionaries. Is this going to work for me? No, it's not. Ha ha! People like William Booth. Anyone know who that one is? I knew you would. Who is it? St. Patrick. And there's story after story of missionaries. Hudson Taylor, who went to China and changed the whole of China in sharing the gospel. William Cameron Townsend, who started Wycliffe Bible Translators. Jackie Pullinger, who went to Hong Kong with nothing and worked in the slums with drug addicts. In all these stories, there is a common theme to their character. No matter what the cost or circumstance, they knew they were in who they were in Christ. They knew their identity and their purpose was founded in Jesus. And despite all obstacles that came their way, that never changed. These men and women embraced the call of God on their lives, risking everything for his sake and for the sake of the gospel. They understood that they were sent by him. They brought the presence of Jesus to wherever he sent them. And it's no wonder that we often see them as inspiring leaders that we want to follow. Embracing their call, they brought kingdom change and movement. Over the past few weeks, we've had a sermon series based on the gifts that Christ gave at his ascension. In Ephesians 4, Paul outlines them as the shape of how Jesus equips and empowers the church for God's mission. We can all find ourselves in this mix in some way. This is about who we are and what we are made for. So, what are they? Can we remember? Let's start with the first one that we had. Can anyone remember? Thanks! Teacher, pastor, evangelist, prophet, and apostle. We've looked at them in a reverse order, partly to leave the difficult ones to the end. And as Will said last week, the last two can be tricky. But let's just have a quick recap, just to remind us. So the teacher imparts teaching. God has given teachers a thirst for understanding. They love to explain everything. Their whole foundation is the Word of God. It is their daily bread. They want to impart scripture to others and to apply it and live it out. Without teaching in the body of Christ, we become disconnected from God's word and we preach about ourselves. We lack a foundation to stand on and something to weigh ourselves against. So, Pastor Shepherd, they love people. They will do anything to keep people in the fold. They would lay down their life for the sheep. They walk alongside. They walk with others. Without pastoral within the body of Christ, we forget about others, particularly the broken, the sick, and the outcast. The evangelist will do anything to tell people about Jesus. They literally cannot help themselves. They go out into the world to seek and save the lost. They can be creative and innovative and will bring them in. Without the evangelist in the body of Christ, we look inwards and we are self-serving. The prophet. The prophets call God's people to holiness, to righteousness, and to godliness in all things. They are moved to have worship in all of life, and to worship in spirit and truth. Without the prophet in the church, we end up looking like the world. And now tonight, we're going to focus on a gift that brings movement to the church, the sort of leadership that our missionary heroes exercise. Tonight, we're going to focus on the gift that Paul calls apostle. Without the apostolic gift, we are unmoved, uncovered, disconnected from the urgency of the Great Commission. The apostolic draws us to make disciples of all nations, proclaiming Jesus as King. Now, apostle is a strange word. We don't use it very much, and so let's be a little nerdy. It comes from a Greek verb, apostello, meaning to send. And at the heart of the apostolic gifting is a sense of being sent. The shape of that sense of being sent is found in Jesus. If we want to understand apostolic leadership, we have to begin here. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." From John 20:21. Jesus' disciples were sent as he was sent. The missionaries and leaders that we admire and aspire to be like were sent as he was sent. And we, as an apostolic church, are sent as he was sent. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. So what does that look like? 2 points that can describe this. Incarnation, a word you hear of at Christmas. The Father sends his Son incarnationally to be incarnate, to putting on flesh. He entered into the world to be God with us, to move it and change it and save it from the inside out. That's a key for us to think about. We can look back at our missionary heroes and we see the same thing. And for many of them, their legacy still lives on. They did a lot of things in their ministry, but the basic shape was that they entered into the brokenness and burdens of those who God sent them to. William Booth entered into the world of the poor. William Carey travelled to foreign lands and learnt the culture. Hudson Taylor did the same. St. Patrick was a slave in Ireland, and he willingly went back to the land of his slavery. When we think of how God is calling us as his church, we must understand that we are also apostolic in this way. We can think about all things that we can do, caring, teaching, evangelizing, even prophesying. But who are we called to be among? How is God leading us to enter into the burdens and brokenness of the world? The apostolic gift in the church will always call us to participate in, not to avoid, the pain and grief and suffering of the world. My bishop in Tasmania, John Harawa, put it this way, and he would be embarrassed that I'm even quoting him. He said this, "God can grow the kingdom without your deeds, but not without your presence. He sends us into it." Look at how, and that's another aspect to this. Incarnational mission is fundamentally humbling. Look at how Paul described the apostolic mind of Christ in Philippians 2. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. There has been no greater leader on earth. But Jesus never raises himself. He is completely entrusted into the hands of God. He is sent humbly. I've had the privilege of being among church leaders most of my life. There are some who are still full of themselves, and yet God nurtures the apostolic in them by taking them into wilderness and hard places. He is teaching them the mind of Christ. It's why someone claiming to be an apostle is almost their disqualification. It's like someone saying, "My ambition is to be a bishop." They won't truly walk in their calling by seizing it. To be an apostle is to walk in suffering and humility of Christ. Those who are operating in the gift of apostle often find themselves groaning with the heart and the burden that God has given them. It's almost a ministry that you don't want. But something compels you to bring the tears to God. Often those with an apostolic gifting find it difficult to identify themselves. Sometimes they will operate in a secondary gift, such as teacher or pastor. They don't want to raise themselves up, but they are there and they move us. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. This tells us that not only is the apostolic fundamentally incarnational, it is also fundamentally vocational. Jesus is sent as a sending one, and the apostolic gift in the church does the same. Look at what Jesus did with his apostles. He lived with them. He incarnated with them. He knew them and he called them into their gifting and ministry. And it's the same when the apostolic gift is at work in the church. There is a sense in which each member of the body is seen and recognised and released into their calling. There's a covering and a connection in this. Like saying, "I see who you are. I know your heart. And this is how you can fit and this is how you can connect." In some ways, it's the opposite spirit of our culture. Our culture is professional and demands things. Step up, perform, achieve, prove yourself. Rather, the apostolic is vocational and is almost the opposite. It calls the unequipped and equips them. It recognises the hidden and draws it out. When leadership is apostolic, we see this. Even when an apostolic leader exercises discipline, they do it vocationally. They build up through conviction and comfort as a father and mother care for their children, aching with the heart of their heavenly Father. And even if it's a hard thing to hear, they cover and protect. They reflect the heart of God, whose rod and staff they comfort me. Because of this, they are people we can follow. We can trust them. They call people. They don't manipulate people into following. Rather, deep calls to deep as they help us find ourselves in God's movement. It's not for no reason that they are often called visionaries and the big daddies and spiritual parents of organisations, missional movements and churches. Incarnational, vocational, as the Father sent me, so I send you. We can see this in the reading that we've had tonight. When Paul shows us the heart of what it means to be apostolic. In the passage that Nikki read for us, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth. The church he is writing to is not an easy church. It doesn't sound much different, to be honest, to the churches of today. They're driven by a love of success. They have divisions. They have sexual immorality. They were superficial and craving the comfort of the world. The sort of leaders they were looking for were super apostles, great orators, good performers, people worth paying for. They were rich in themselves and wanted a leader who would do the same. They wanted a leader who was impressive but didn't expect too much of them. Does this still happen today? It's a temptation we face all the time. But as we've seen, the mode of the apostle is to enter into the world, to be part of it, and to be Jesus without compromise, to live in it and dwell in it, even and especially when it's hard. This is Paul's apostolic shape. He offers Jesus. He is sent as Jesus was sent. He lived and breathed what it meant to worship and follow his Saviour, even if it ended up with him being treated, in his words, as garbage. Paul is willing to share in the sufferings of his Saviour, but the church in Corinth wanted the power of the resurrection without participating in the sufferings of Christ. Without going through the wilderness, without being shaped and refined in their calling. They want the fruit of spring and the harvest of summer without the fire or the pruning that can come with the cold and dark of winter. Paul is dealing with a church that has denied its apostolic gift. And you can sense his passion. He even becomes a bit sarcastic. Look at verses 8 and 9. Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish that you really had begun to reign so that we also might reign with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. He sarcastically calls them rich, but Christ is a man of sorrows, and the apostolic in Paul is taking them there. He fathers them with gentle, loving kick up the backside and the longing that they be who they are in Christ, imitating him, instead of looking like the world. What I hear Paul saying in Corinthians is an echo of what is said over and over in Scripture, as God sends people to be senders and leaders. I can hear Moses as he's frustrated with God's people as they grumble and murmur and need the 40 years in the desert. And Moses must take them there. I can hear King David in the Psalms lament turn into joy as he carries the people of God. And I can hear Jesus himself, who turns over tables in the temple and sits with prostitutes and heals lepers. The apostolic draws us into that place of laying down our lives, living from a place of surrender, leadership on a path that seeks to bring life to where it's needed amongst the pain. Paul has an apostolic shape, but let's bring this back to us. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And who are we? In traditional services, we say the creed. One of the lines is this: I believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We are declaring who we are supposed to be as God's people. We are saying collectively that the church is apostolic. The church is called to be a missional kingdom movement. The church is apostolic, is sent out into the world to incarnate the love of God, to first and foremost be present. The church is apostolic, it's vocational, actively at work to equip, empower and enable our teachers, our pastors, our shepherds, evangelists and our prophets. If we are an apostolic church, it's unlikely to be comfortable. It certainly wasn't for Paul. He said, we work hard with our hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. If we are an apostolic church, we cannot rely on our own power. We deny our apostolicness when we look to our riches, our skills, our abilities, and our achievements. And we don't have the mind of Christ. If we are to be an apostolic church, we will have our desert. We will have a wilderness. We will pass through exile and whatever it takes for us to be moved. And those seasons will feel like we are going around and around in circles and spinning our wheels. We won't know who we are, and we'll have to allow parts of us to die and to be pruned so that God can raise us up, to send us out as he is sent, not how we think he should send or how we think anything should happen. Because that is where the apostolic gift takes us, to the very beating heart of God, who so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. The apostolic gift brings us to the place where we meet our loving Father, where he disciples us. He apprentices us. He doesn't need us. He could grow the church without us, but in his grace chooses to use us. An apostolic church. As an apostolic church, we embrace that we will follow the heart of God, rather than avoid responsibility or discomfort. We enter in and are moved as he is moved, even if he is grieved. Surely this is what it means to imitate Christ and to share in his sufferings. Christ's gift of the apostolic is the gift... Christ's gift of the apostolic is the gift of those who will move us in this way, to stir us to be a movement rather than a static place to attend. As we finish, we need to realise that many of us long for apostolic covering. We long for church to be a place which is incarnational and vocational. That longing partly recognises that apostolic leadership reflects the Father's heart. It covers, it nurtures, it deals in reality, and it draws you into your calling. If that is your longing, allow it to surface. Continue to trust that Jesus, just as Jesus is making the church holy, so he is renewing it as a movement. It might take some desert time, but he has sent us and won't leave a job unfinished. Above all, remember that first sender is God himself. Your Father is with you, and it is his church. Others of you will be resonating with the sense of apostolic calling in yourself. You feel stirred, moved, and even though you see the burden and cost of it, it still resonates. You have a deep longing, a burden even, to enter into the heart of God and to cover and to call his people to their mission. If this is you, you may find it hard to grasp. You don't want to raise yourself up. So instead, have the mind of Christ. Push deeper. Dig deep in Scripture. Worship with every breath. Allow God to fill you and lift you when it's in his time. You may need to run to a lonely mountain of God and let God raise you. You cannot own it, you can't seize it, and you're not entitled to it. But he will do a work in you. We sing a song here with words that go like this. It's all about you, Jesus. All this is for you, for your glory and your fame. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender to your ways. That needs to be our prayer collectively if we are to be a holy apostolic church. It comes from a place of giving up our life to worship and follow our Lord and Saviour, no matter what the cost. And in that place of surrender, we lay down our own life and let Jesus fill us. I'm going to ask the band to come up, and we're going to spend some time just in worship and praising our Lord and Saviour. If you guys want to come up. I know over the last few weeks that as we've talked about teachers and evangelists, prophets, shepherds, and today apostles, that some of this stuff has stirred in you and has resonated with you. Some of it just causes more frustration. For some of you, you may feel disheartened, you may feel hurt. Will and I and our prayer team want to pray with you. Don't go home tonight still in that place. You have the opportunity to be prayed for. And we want to partner with you by the power of the Spirit and pray for you as God's people. I'm going to pray now and then we'll spend some time in worship. Lord God, I thank you that we are yours. Father, I thank you that we are your children, that we are your body. Lord, call us, draw us to yourself, that we would become more like you. Lord, help us to see the joy of your salvation and grow in maturity in the knowledge and love of who you are. Lord, if these gifts that you gave to us as your church, as you ascended to heaven, Lord, breathe your life into us as your people. Raise up leaders, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.